All right, everybody, welcome in. This is the Stick and Axe Show, and we are still on our summer hiatus. This is the last episode, I believe, until a brand new one hits the airwaves for season four. So with the Ryder Cup imminent, let's go back in time to 2020 and our interview with Michael Riley, Director of Operations at Whistling Straits. That's right, the host of this year's Ryder Cup. He talks to us about the decision-making process of canceling last year's Ryder Cup, moving it to this year. It's an incredible interview. Plus, we talk about Ryder Cup stories from the past as we get ready for the Ryder Cup. Let's go back in time to a Stick and Hack Classic. Here's Michael Riley, Director of Operations at Whistling Straits on the Stick and Hack Show. This is a classic episode. And somebody who is very close to that event, now we bring in our guest, Mike Riley here. Mike O'Reilly, apologies. Mike O'Reilly for the Stick and Axe Show. Mike, we bring you into the program talking about the Ryder Cup, and you have a very close relationship with the Ryder Cup. First of all, welcome in to the show. Good to see you.
Fellas, thanks for having me.
Thank you. So, Mike, you were supposed to host the Ryder Cup this year, and that didn't happen. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. We're not going to start the interview with that obvious question. We first want to know a little bit about you and your golf story and what you do. You are the PGA Director of Golf Operations for Whistling Straits, one of the most iconic courses in the United States. Tell us a bit about your story and who you are and what you do.
Yeah, no. Well, again, thanks for having me, fellas. Appreciate being here with you. I'm the Director of Golf Operations for Whistling Straits and Black Wolf Run. So all 72 holes. We have 36 holes at Whistling Straits and 36 holes over at Black Wolf Run. We're currently constructing, we can talk about it more if you'd like, a 10-hole par 3 course. That's going to be awesome. We're looking forward to that opening next year.
Well, we talk about that a lot, Mike, we would like to see more of those types of courses and kids and others that can't take on a 72 hole or 18 hole, you know, experience like that and just go play 9 holes just to get out and a par 3 at that. More and more courses that have the space are doing that. When was the decision made to make that par 3 and what's it going to be like?
I mean, we've been talking about it for several years. We pulled the trigger, started construction late last year, kind of finishing construction right now. There's 10 holes. 8 of them are fully built and seated. They're working on the last 2 holes, as we sit here right now. We're hoping to open in June of next year. So it's going to be all about fun. We've got a 2-acre putting green, 10-hole par 3. We've got a patio area that's not quite finished yet. We'll have a food and beverage area up there, hopefully a grill that's manned by a chef on every afternoon from 3 to 8 type thing, and they're cooking burgers and brats, and you come hang out, grab a couple clubs, play some holes, go on the putting course, and then come back and have a few spotted cows or something.
Nice.
On the patio area.
So. Excellent.
Yeah. Indeed. Well, that's great.
That gives me goosebumps.
It does. It does. Well, you highlighted and illuminated your drinking earlier in the show, so I can see why that would. So what else? How long have you been in the golf space? How long have you been at these courses? And tell us a bit about your job in general.
Yeah. No, I've been in golf really my whole life. I caddied at a small country club in Hinsdale, Illinois, called Ruth Lake growing up. And I came up to the Kohler area when I was a freshman in college and got an internship. Well, actually, the first year I caddied at Black Wolf Run. This is 1996, before Whistling Straits was open. So I caddied for a couple of years, and I was an intern at Black Wolf Run for a couple of years. I was an assistant professional for several years. I was the head professional at Whistling Straits for 2007 to 17, and I've been the director of golf for the past 3 to 4 years. So I've been with Kohler for a long, long time, almost 25 years.
Now, your dad said famously, I've read it several times in articles about you, about starting at the bottom and working your way up. Find a company, find a career you want to be in and work in, and start at the bottom and work your way up. That's exactly what you've done, and now you are at the top. Was that advice that you followed closely throughout your career, is that just keep working those rungs of that ladder?
Yeah, and I think it's important for leaders to have that understanding of, what's going on in other areas of the operation. In my current position, it's a challenge for me to not get as deeply involved in each part of the business because, I quote-unquote know them,
Yeah.
So I need to be a little bit more of a leader now, but My dad, you know, early on, we moved up to this area. I'm the youngest of four, so most of the, you know, my brothers and sisters were out of the house. I was a senior in high school, moved up to this area. My dad's like, hey, there's a great golf course, you know, about 10 miles from here called Black Wolf Run. You should go try to work there. And I ended up doing that. And the advice my dad gave me is, you know, just get in with the best company, you know, and start as a janitor and, you know, learn what happens when the custodial crew is in, and then learn what happens when, you know, the caddy goes on the course, and whatever you're going to do, whatever business you're in, it's great advice.
Yeah, indeed.
I love that. Mike, I'll ask the inevitable question now. You had to cancel the Ryder Cup this year. Kind of walk us through the process of what that decision looked like, and I'm sure you guys had to work with the governing bodies on that decision, and you know how that went.
Yeah, I mean it was certainly a tough one. We would be in advance week right now, so the Ryder Cup was supposed to happen next week. So we would be closed. There would be, you know, chalets and bleachers all over the place right now. And yeah. You know, now I look out the window and we got some guys practicing on the putting green, which is great too. But the decision was difficult. You know, as you mentioned, there's a lot of governing bodies, a lot of large organizations involved. You had the PGA Tour, PGA of America, Ryder Cup Europe, NBC, Sky Sports, Kohler Company. Everyone needed to be aligned on what it was going to look like if we hosted or if we didn't host, if we were postponed, what happens, with the President's Cup, for next year. You know, so it took some time, but all the organizations worked very well together. Everyone was in the goal of, you know, doing what's best for golf, doing what's best for, championship golf, for the Ryder Cup, for the President's Cup. And I think we landed in a pretty good spot. I think it would have been a disaster. Now, you guys talked about the Ryder Cup a little bit before. Not a disaster. I shouldn't say that. It would have been a very different Ryder Cup had we chosen to do it without fans.
Yeah.
That's the big debate is that, you know, they are right now. Golf is fun to watch on TV because you get to see, I mean, especially like watching the US Open and seeing Wingfoot and some of these other courses, you've never got to see the course. You only see that little sliver in between the fans. It is pretty awesome to see the entire course now on TV without the fans, but the Ryder Cup without fans, is a very different experience, and you're not going to have that same intensity. Was it ever talked about that, hey, we can do this without fans if we do these other things, or was it like it's fans or it's nothing?
No, it was considered. I mean, the options were discussed on what could it look like, virtual fans, you know, kind of like NBA is doing right now type thing. Yeah. So some of these ideas were certainly discussed. You know, some of them quickly dismissed, some of them not quickly dismissed. But the PGA of America, who's really the governing body of the Ryder Cup, owns the Ryder Cup, you know, they look at all options. I mean, just like everyone else is doing now, right? I mean, you're looking at all options, can you make it work? And eventually it was decided the best thing we could do is postpone. And then the President's Cup is going to move into 2022. And from here on out, we're back to the even years for the Ryder Cup, 2021, 3, 5, 7.
Yeah, so is it been canceled before? Wasn't there 1 year where it was canceled for another reason?
9/11.
Yeah. Okay.
It was 9/11. Yeah.
Yeah. So that took it off that odd year calendar, and now we're going to be back on that. So it's unfortunate because your spot is so awesome, and I can't even imagine what that would have been like. Were you guys disappointed in reality, or was it more of a this is what it is. But not 2020 sucks. So what are we going to do?
What are you going to do? I mean, disappointed, yeah, for sure. You know, we've been planning for, you know, the Ryder Cup was announced to be hosted here at Whistling Straits shortly after the 2004 PGA Championship. So we're talking 15 years ago.
man.
It's quite the prep.
It was announced.
Yeah.
You know, and Mr. Kohler, his family, you know, the Kohler Company, everyone in this community, we then hosted the 10 PGA, the 15 PGA, and the, you know, culmination of the Ryder Cup in 20. So we disappointed, yes. Was the right decision made? Yes. You know, we're still going to host it. We're going to host it next year. And, you know, we've moved some of our the planning out. We have to do a few things a little bit differently, but you know, for the most part, we're planning on having a great Ryder Cup in this time next year, almost a year from today.
That's awesome. Great. So why is golf so awesome in your part of the Midwest? You know, if for those that are in other parts of the country and never been to Wisconsin and, you know, that upper Midwest area, especially where you guys are on the coast there of Lake Michigan, the golf is so unreal and so natural and really how golf is supposed to be played. You don't have a lot of homes. You don't have a lot of things happening. It is nature golf. Why is it so awesome? Why do people come from all over the country to play golf at Whistling Straits and other courses?
Yeah, you know, I think they come first for the cheese curds. I don't know if you guys have had
100%.
Yes,
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to be that guy. I didn't want to be cheese curd boy.
I am cheese curd boy. Thank you.
You're a drunk and a cheese curd boy.
Wisconsin's kind of my like mecca. Yeah, Wisconsin's my mecca.
Yeah, so they come for the cheese curds and then they stay for the golf. Is that what I'm understanding?
They're like, whoa, the Straits course is here. Let's play it.
No, why is it so awesome? No, what's great about those courses?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different reasons. The people are very passionate about golf in the state of Wisconsin. People are very passionate about sports in the state of Wisconsin. I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head with a couple things. It's the natural setting that we have. You know, none of the courses here in Kohler and many of the, you know, more well-known courses in the state of Wisconsin, you're not going to find them lined by houses. They're certainly not real estate developments, to support the sale of homes. So you're not going to see that a lot. It's the natural setting. The courses here in Kohler, the two courses at Black Wolf Run are designed along the Sheboygan River, and just a beautiful use of the land, where the courses at Whistling Straits, the two of them here, were more constructed. It was a flat piece of property. And all the dunes and mounds and bunkers were constructed, and Pete Dye, who designed all four of our courses, did a great job doing that. You know, in other parts of the state, great, public and private golf courses all throughout. And just really good golf, really passionate. You know, as far as public golf is concerned, we have 10 ranked courses. The only state we're behind is number of top 100 public access to golf courses is California. So Wisconsin and Michigan have 10 ranked public access golf courses, only behind California. So it says a lot for the Midwest and, you know, what golf we have to offer up here.
Your guys' location is a destination for, you know, weekend sticks and hacks. You know, why do you think, and we kind of talked about this already a little bit, but expound on why those courses are so iconic and have become so iconic at this point.
Yeah, I mean, certainly hosting championships that we've hosted in the past gives us, an excitement when people come to our destination. They get really excited about playing the Straits course, and Black Wolf Run has hosted several women's opens, two U.S. women's opens in the past, and in the mid-90s, a couple different events as well. So, the championship allure is certainly something to it. The conditions of our golf courses are always in immaculate shape, so that's a great thing as well. But really, I think what's important, we can have great golf. We have great facilities as well. But the important thing, specifically for a buddy's trip, is the hang. You know, you want to have a good place to hang. You know, great golf is critical. Great hotel room is critical, whether it be a lodge or wherever you're staying. But the ability to spend time with the guys, you know, on what you're doing. And like I mentioned before, that par 3 course in the patio area is a perfect addition to help us improve that. We have an indoor swing studio that has a patio as well with a fire pit, a place to hang. Nice. So we're looking to keep adding those things to the destination and who we are.
Well, and you know, that's kind of where Stick and Hack lives too, is that the community and the connection and the friendship and the bonding and all that stuff is more important sometimes than the golf. The golf is there and
it's a vehicle.
Yeah, it's a vehicle.
Yeah.
But the friends that you go on these trips with, some of them, sometimes these groups of people, they don't see each other than that one trip every year. They come from all over the country and they meet somewhere and they catch up in eight minutes. You know, hey, how are you doing? Good. How's life? Fine. And then boom, it's just like we saw each other yesterday. To have that area, for the hang and for just the camaraderie and the community is very important. Golf is almost secondary, but your area does bring a lot of those groups. So what's your favorite thing and what do you love most about the groups of people that hang and come play golf there and spend 3 or 4 days, except for their bar tab at the end? What do you love about them as groups of people?
We like the bar tabs from a business standpoint. Yeah, it's not the most important thing to us. But
it's up there, though. I bet it's top three.
It's important.
That F&B budget, baby, that's gotta be high.
Yes.
But no, you get a lot of groups there, so you probably see all kinds. What's your favorite thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's the excitement, really. You know, like I said, because of the, you know, iconic nature of our golf courses, the beauty of the golf courses, people are super excited when they arrive, which leaves us with a high bar to deliver on, you know, and to see the excitement when literally someone pulls up to the bag drop at Whistling Straits and they drop their clubs off, and the excitement level that they have for being here is just awesome to see. And then to see our team deliver on it, and when they leave and write us a note, or, you know, as they're walking out the door, let us know how it went. It's a pretty special thing to be a part of. And so I'd say, just in general, the excitement that people have to be here, to see their friends, to be, you know, looking forward to the next few days and saying, you know what, we're going to play some awesome golf courses, and I'm going to spend time with these people that I, you know, been looking forward to this for a year now. And, so it's pretty special thing to be a part of.
Let me ask you this. Have you seen some people that really don't care at all about the golf? They are there just for the friends. I mean, it's not expensive, but it's higher. It's a higher price, you know, for 3 or 4 days and the lodging and all that stuff. You got to really be committed to golf. Or do you find people there that are just committed to being on a vacation and hey, we're going to play some golf in between all this other stuff? Hacks that are out there, you don't have to be great to enjoy a weekend on a golf retreat somewhere amazing. It doesn't matter the course. Would you agree with that, Mike?
Yeah. No, I don't think you have to be great. I think, you know, from from one perspective, it's important that you play the right tees to enjoy the golf course for a hack.
Absolutely.
You know, so if he does that, you'll be fine. I think
he was talking to me. Were you talking to me, Mike? I got you. I heard the rule. I got the starter told me to play up. I get it.
Tee it forward.
That's right. Absolutely.
No, I mean, the golf courses are designed in a way. I mean, to answer your question, I think everyone's coming here for the golf and looking forward to playing the golf courses. Even if it's, you know, if you're not the greatest player, to enjoy the beauty of these golf courses is pretty incredible. Tom Watson played in the U.S. Senior Open here in 2007. He almost won it. We wish he did, but he was close. But he did an interview after, like, the second round. And they asked him, what do you think about Whistling Straits? It was his first time here. And he said, this is probably the prettiest golf course I've ever seen in my life. And we were like, Tom, say that again. And we didn't record that. You know, you got Tom Watson saying that our facility is the prettiest golf course he's ever played. So, you know, from an enjoyment standpoint, obviously, you know, players want to play well. But from a beauty standpoint, it's tough to match what we have here. So, I think people are coming to enjoy the golf courses, whether it be to shoot a good score or just enjoy what we have to offer. And the hang is an important part of it as well.
Mike O'Reilly, the guest here, PGA Director of Golf Operations for Whistling Straits.
Mike, you started as a caddy at the age of 14. You talked about a little bit before. Yep. Do you ever long for the days back when you were just a caddy, but then in addition to that, having the knowledge of golf that you do now? So thinking back to then, would you love to have all that knowledge you have now and being a caddy? Or was it you just being a caddy and kind of the innocence of it is something that you look back on and that's from a fond memory standpoint?
Yeah, I'd probably say yes to both. You know, I look back on those days and learning the game, and I was kind of one of the guys that hung around all the time, and I got to know the assistant pros and looked up to these guys, and you know, they taught me, you know, the game of golf. They taught me how to drink a beer. They taught me, you know, a lot of different things when you're working in the bag room at a private club, you know. But, you know, to get back there with what I know now, you know, that'd be, I guess, an amazing experience to be able to do that. You know, my old boss, Jim Richardson, he's the vice president of the PGA now. you know, when I was, he first came to work for Kohler Company, he asked me, he's like, Mike, what's your dream job? I said, to be a tour caddy. He said, why don't you try to do it? And I'm like, I don't know, because I got a good job here, I guess. you know, so going back to caddying, whether it be at a club or on tour or something crazy like that, would be, I guess, kind of a dream job for me still.
Well, we've got a Stick and Hack Challenge golf outing coming up in a couple of weeks. Maybe you come down and caddy for me. Thoughts?
I could do that. I could do that.
Just say no, Mike.
Just say what no. What a disaster. Talk about an absolute fall from grace.
He won't listen to you. I mean, you're just putting yourself in a position that you're just going to be like, who is this Yahoo?
Oh, good. You know, Mike, when go ahead.
I walked down the middle of the fairway. If you're offline, then it's up to you. You got to.
I won't see you for 18 holes.
Yeah, absolutely.
When golf is your life, it's easy to get jaded by the game, you know, and just the day in, day out operations. You don't get to enjoy golf. You're not playing golf every day. You're teaching, you're doing other things, sure. But it's easy to just kind of be done with the game. But that doesn't seem to be the case with you. What's the secret to being a life in golf and a career in golf and not letting that encapsulate your entire being?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, as a PGA professional, you know, that can happen to many guys. You get so involved in what you're doing on a day-to-day basis, and you forget about, you know, what brought you to the business. You know, I encourage our staff, I encourage myself, I guess, to get out and play as much as possible, to make that a priority, to play in a few events a year, not only to be, you know, keep my game somewhat sharp, although it's not that sharp right now, but to keep it somewhat sharp, I think it's important, you know, as PGA professionals that we represent that brand by playing golf. Susie Whaley, the current president of the PGA of America, says it all the time. You got to get out and play, guys. We got to represent our brand and who we are, and not be guys who play four or five rounds a year. You know, you got to be out playing golf. So I think that's important, you know, to keep my passion in the game. You know, I'm the luckiest guy in the world, right? I mean, I work for a great company. We have great facilities, good people. The Kohler family is super supportive of what we want to do. We say we want to do something, and they say, okay. So I'm blessed. I'm one of the spoiled ones in the world, and certainly in the world of golf.
Well, no kidding. You just said that your boss tells you to go out and play more golf.
Yes. Where, play golf.
What company does anybody work for where their boss is like, yeah, you should play way more golf than you do. Don't be one of those guys.
So did you play this week? No. What is wrong with you? No, you guys.
What? I'd love to have that conversation.
Yeah, don't get it. That is luck indeed. Mike O'Reilly, PGA Director of Golf Operations for Whistling Straits. We appreciate your time, Mike. Thank you so much. We look forward to the Ryder Cup next year. You have another year to prep and plan. Can you imagine the guy that didn't do what he was supposed to do for this year's Ryder Cup and just says,
like, woo!
Thank God I got another year.
Dodge that bullet.
Got another year to get that email out. Put that on my to-do list.
They were going to be really mad when there were no holes out on those greens.
I was supposed to make the signs, damn it. I got a whole another year. Mike, enjoy it, and thank you so much. Thanks for being a Stick and Hack member. We appreciate your support, as always, and continued luck there, and hopefully we can come up there and play Whistling Straits sometime.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. You're welcome as my guest anytime. So let me know when you can make it up.
All right, awesome. We did hit record on that, so we do have that on the record. Unlike the Tom Watson, Watson quote, we do have that. Thanks, Mike. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, there you have it. Mike O'Reilly, Director of Operations for Whistling Straits, the host of this year's Ryder Cup. An incredible conversation and a great dude, of course. He had so much going on last year when they canceled it. I can't even imagine what he had going on this year. That was, in fact, a look back to a year ago almost to that interview as we look back at season 2 there of the Stick and Hack Classic episodes. The next one that we showcase to you should be a new one, if my math's correct. If not, we'll do another Stick and Hack Classic episode with Gary Player. That's a tease that could go one way or the other. Confused? So am I. Enjoy your day. Enjoy the summer hiatus here at the Stick and Hack Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
Okay, we're done. This has been the Stick and Hack Show. Go to stickandhack.com to become a free member of the world's greatest golf club without the course.